I love how history weaves together and seemingly unrelated events come together to produce unusual results. And that's what I want to talk about today very briefly. I want to talk about the year without a summer, 1816. Why? Because I want to. Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. But on Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And so today, I want to talk about the year without a summer. And what prompted me to want to talk about this was I've been reading classic literature and lots of different kinds of classic literature. And I started to get into Gothic novels recently. So I was reading through Bram Stoker's Dracula and Percy Shelley's Frankenstein. I like Dracula. I thought it was really good. I thought it was better than, I don't know. I think there was a lot of hype over Frankenstein. It's a classic and there's good elements to it. But I didn't like Frankenstein as much, though I think if you read Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley. So when was Frankenstein written here? I have it right here because Mary Shelley's Frankenstein was written 1818. Well, I know it comes, the idea for it starts in 1816. I'll pull all of that together. But a lot of us, when we think about Frankenstein, we think about the Boris Karloff films, like the films from the 1930s. It's alive! And he's just got the bolts in his neck, and he's like, rawr! And he just walks, and he's, you know, unintelligent, big blockhead, and then the villagers chase him to the windmill, and the windmill catches on fire. That is not Mary Shelley Frankenstein. That is not it at all. Rather, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, it's kind of like, I don't know. It reminded me of Moby Dick a little bit, where it's more like the Frankenstein, which is not the name of the monster. You know, if you're one of those actually people, actually, Frankenstein is the name of the creator. The monster doesn't have a name. It's important for you to know that. It's Frankenstein's monster, Victor Frankenstein, Frankenstein. And so it's more he creates this thing. He regrets making it. And it learns and grows on its own, causes havoc, becomes really smart, and then it ends up toying with Frankenstein, and they end up chasing each other off into the, or Dr. Frankenstein chases his monster out into the frozen tundra, which is where the book actually starts, because a lot of the book is a flashback, actually. So if you are expecting the Boris, like traditional popular notions of Frankenstein, you're going to be disappointed when you read the book. You can't go in with that kind of an expectation. Instead, there is a good film adaptation I've heard of it, like from 1994, called Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, with Robert De Niro as the monster. And he's not like a big green guy with bolts in his neck. So if you want to look at that. But the reason I'm tying this back into Year Without a Summer was that there was a very unusual weather phenomenon that occurred in the early part of the 19th century that if it had not occurred, we may not have gotten Gothic novels like Dracula, like Frankenstein. So these, you know, it's a series of unusual events, the butterfly effect, if you will. So what happened was that in the beginning of 19th century, this is in 1816, called the Year Without a Summer. It says here that in 1816, summer temperatures in Europe were the coldest of any on record between 1766 and the year 2000. Evidence suggests it was very, very cold. It was just like, there's no summer this year. It's like winter just kept going. And early evidence suggests the anomaly was predominantly a volcanic winter event caused by the massive 1815 eruption of Mount Tambora in April in Indonesia, which at the time was referred to as the Dutch East Indies. Though there were other, volcanic eruptions that had taken place in the few years before that. So that might have compounded the issue. There was an eruption in 1808, one in the Caribbean in 1812, another in the East Indies in 1812. The Philippines had one in 1814. Nothing was as big as Tambora, though. So this volcanic winter emerges, drops temperatures, so it caused a lot of, you know, different effects of things that were led to. There was a lot of significant hardship in Europe with food riots, famines, with extra stress caused by the Napoleonic Wars at the time. In North America, there was also crop failures, which may have contributed to more of the westward expansion and the movement of Americans moving from the eastern seaboard into the west in the early 19th century, moving them out of areas like New England, heading into the Midwest, and finally out west. A part of it. Obviously, there's a lot more involved. It also says that in the eastern United States, a persistent dry fog dimmed the sunlight, causing unusual cold and frost throughout the summer months. So it was in the northern hemisphere where it should have been summer. This volcanic activity caused a lot of this to continue. And you see, there's also an effect on art. So if you look at art around this period, the monk paintings like The Monk by the Sea by Caspar David Friedrich, Two Men by the Sea, Chichester Canal by J.M.W. Turner. A lot of these works, there's been a study done in 2007 that showed from 1500 to 1900, there were a lot of paintings where when the sunset was reddish or unusual, also corresponds to unusual volcanic activity at that time. One of the most famous would be Edvard Munch's 1883 painting, The Scream. You know, it's got the guy on the bridge and he's like, ah, he's got his hands on his cheek and elongated face. The Scream, right? Edvard Munch's The Scream. And the red background in that painting of the sunset there may also be connected to the 1883 eruption at Krakatoa, causing similar atmospheric disturbances. So what also happened, though, was, so fast forward to Europe, June 1816. It says here that there was insistent rainfall in a wet, ungenial summer, according to their memoirs, that forced famous academics, or, you know, cultural elites here, Mary Shelley, Percy Bysshe Shelley, Lord Byron, John William Polidori, they had to stay indoors. They were at a Swiss villa. They thought, you know, they go to Switzerland in June. Enjoy. This happened to my wife and I went on our honeymoon. We go to Switzerland. It's in June, and we want to ride the scenic train, and it's all clouds, all fog. So they go, and they thought they're going to have this wonderful sunny summer in Switzerland, and it's cold and rainy, unusually so. They're forced to stay inside. So one of their friends proposes, they started reading these German ghost stories. Ghost is actually a German word. Comes from Geist, which just means spirit. That's why as Catholics, we talk about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. Geist just means spirit. Okay. So they're reading these ghost stories, and Lord Byron proposed a contest to pass the time since they can't go outside. He says, all right, who can write the scariest story? So they all get together. This led Mary Shelley to write Frankenstein. Lord Byron wrote his famous work, A Fragment. And Polidori used this as an inspiration for his work, The Vampire, P-Y-R-E, The Vampire, which would be a precursor to Bram Stoker's Dracula. And you should read Dracula. I'm going to be doing an episode soon on classic novels Christians should read. So spoiler alert there, Dracula will appear in that. It's a good one for Christians to read, and I'll elaborate on some elements that have to be understood in it, because you can't look at it as either a Protestant or a Catholic work. It's kind of an in-between. So I would just recommend that. It's also a really neat, it's one of the first, I call it like a found footage book, because it's told in novel. It's told as a series of letters that are found and newspaper accounts. So I think that's pretty cool. And so that's what inspired it, was that the year without a summer, you get interesting paintings. We may not have had them without this. Novels that were written that may not have been written if there was just a sunny day in Switzerland and the thaw hadn't crossed their minds. I love studying history because very small things can produce unintended big results. You just never know what'll happen. I got a bachelor's degree in history. I thought I would become a history teacher, but God had other plans for me. But I still love history. So thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope you have a very blessed weekend.